I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Good to see all of you in the house of the Lord. I trust we have not forgotten the verses that we are supposed to commit to memory for the year, the four verses from the book of Colossians. All right, we'll say these four verses now. Colossians 3, 1 to 4. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Colossians 3, 1 to 4. All right, very good. Now I trust that we not only commit this to memory, but that we will use these verses as guidelines, as a lamp unto our feet as we live our lives on this earth. Now the subject this morning is be praying always. Be praying always. I speak from Ephesians chapter 6 verses 10 to 18. Now you will remember that we have been talking about the armor of God. The Apostle Paul talks about the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the girdle of truth, the sword of the Spirit, the shield of faith, and our feet, having our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And then he comes to verse 18. Now when he comes to verse 18, he talks about prayer. And so we read in verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now there are people who think that this prayer is part of the whole armor of God. And then there are other people who think that this is not the case. Prayer is something separate. It is not a part of the whole armor of God. But whichever position you take in regards to prayer, we have to conclude that prayer is a very, very essential part of our defense against the walls of the evil one. And that's true. Now we surely need to pray so that we will be in the right condition for our spiritual warfare. The spiritual battles that we fight day to day are won or lost actually in the secret of our prayer hours. And that is true, friends. We have, for example, the case of Jacob in the Word of God, having to meet with his twin brother Esau. Yes, after 20 years of absence from the home. Now, Jacob came home. Now, 20 years earlier, he had to leave home to flee the wrath of his twin brother Esau, because earlier on, he had cheated his brother of his birthright and of his blessings, as it were. And he knew that his brother was mad with him and that his brother was after his life. And so he had to run away from home, and then he went and stayed with Uncle Laban. His uncle, Uncle Laban, for 20 years, during which time he was swindled by his uncle, cheated by his uncle. But despite all these adverse conditions that he lived under, God prospered him. God blessed him with great wealth and with a huge family. And then God told him, it's time for you to return to your homeland, to the promised land. But there was only one problem, and that problem was Esau. You see, Jacob heard that Esau was going to come out to meet him with 400 men. Whether Esau was going to come out to meet him in peace or in war, he was not going to know, or he didn't know. And so, that night, before the day that he was going to meet with his twin brother Esau, he prayed by the river Jabbok. And the Word of God tells us that he prayed from night, from evening, from night till the break of dawn. He wrestled with God, the Word of God says. And then God heard his prayers. God wonderfully heard his prayers, and then mercifully and graciously and wonderfully changed his name from Jacob, which means supplanter or usurper, to Israel, which means a prince of God, a one who fights victoriously with God on his side. And God answered his prayer that evening. The next day, instead of a bloody battle between the two brothers, they were very, very emotionally and happily reconciled. So the lesson is very, very clear, my dear friends. Yes, whether we are going to win or whether we are going to lose in the battlefield depends very, very much on the prayers that we utter in secret in our private closet. Yes. Now, Jacob's experience is only one of many examples of the need to pray in private so that we may be able to fight victoriously in the battlefields. Great heroes of the faith were indeed great heroes of the faith because they prayed. They prayed, that's why they were great heroes. Now, we have the example of, for example, of Moses pleading for the children of Israel. Now, you remember the children of Israel had rebelled against the one true living God at the foot of Mount Sinai. They raised up a golden calf to worship when Moses was up on the mountain to receive God's commandments. And then they raised up the golden calf to worship and to have their sexual orgies. God was very angry with them and God wanted to destroy them. But Moses pleaded for the children of Israel. God heard his prayer, and God spared the children of Israel. Then we have the case of Elijah praying that the Lord will withhold rain, and the Lord withheld rain for 3.5 years. And then at the end of 3.5 years, Elijah prayed again, and this time God sent rain. And then we have the case of David praying his penitentiary prayer after he committed those two terrible sins. The sin with Bathsheba, the sin of adultery, and then he killed Bathsheba's husband, Uriah, killed in battlefield. Yes, he in fact committed murder. And God, he pleaded with God to forgive him. And God forgave him. So the lesson is clear, my dear friends. All the great heroes were great heroes of the faith because they prayed. They prayed in private. They prayed long prayers in private. Now, if we are not praying always, and armed only with the armor of God, something that we must arm ourselves with, the armor of God that we put on, my dear friends, is not going to be that effective. It's not going to serve us any good, in fact. Spiritually, we will not be effective. For example, if we have the armor of God on us, we will have put on the girdle of truth. Because the girdle of truth is part of the armor of God, we would have put on the girdle of truth. So if we had put on the girdle of truth, our doctrines will of course be very, very sound, right? We have the girdle of truth, we have sound doctrines, and then we have a great deal of knowledge of the Word of God. And sometimes we might have so great a knowledge of the Word of God that we can be very, very scholarly, and we can be very, very good in the knowledge of the Word of God to the point of being able to point out the errors of other people. But that's all that we are good at. You know why? Because we do not pray. That's all. That's all that we are good at. Able to know a lot of things about the Word of God, able to point out the errors of other people, and that's all that we are good at, because we don't pray. Intellectually, theologically, we are very impressive. True, people relating with us would say, this guy is a smart guy, he knows a lot about the Word of God. That's true, we are impressive. But friends, we are not spiritual. Yes, we are not the witnesses that the Lord wants us to be. But that ought not to be the case, my dear friends. If we have great knowledge of the Word of God, then we must be spiritual. Now, if we have great knowledge of the Word of God, then we must necessarily know God well. And if we know him well, what it means is we know him to be all-powerful, we know him to be all-wise, we know him to be all-knowing, we know him to be a very, very gracious and faithful God who never fails us. Now, if we know him that well, recognize him to be the great and all-powerful God, correspondingly, we must be prayerful. Correspondingly, we must be a praying people, so that we will be the witnesses that the Lord wants us to be. That has to be the case. Yes. Now, why is it that our church can be reputed to be a church that is good at defending the truth well? We might be reputed for that, able to defend the truth well. But when it comes to being evangelistic, or when it comes to being missions-minded, we fall flat. Isn't it true? Yes, you look at ourselves. We fall flat when it comes to being missions-minded and when it comes to being evangelistic. Why are we not wielding the sword of the Spirit to go forth with the gospel as we should, having the armor of God on us? Why? Yes? And why aren't we actively going out with the gospel since our feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace? We have the armor of God on us. Our feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And yet we are not going out with the gospel. The explanation is simple, my dear friends. Our church is not praying enough. Yes, we don't pray enough. And because we don't pray enough, we don't expect great things from God. And we don't attempt great things from God because we don't pray enough. Our prayer meeting is not as well as attended as it should be. Of course, we say that the average attendance at our prayer meeting is quite good. The percentage is quite high compared to other church. We seem to be doing all right. But the truth is, my dear friends, our prayer meeting is not as well attended as it should be. Yes? And then when we pray, we do not pray fervently enough. We have to admit it. Our prayers are so mechanical at the church prayer meeting. But friends, such prayer meetings of such character, my dear friends, are only a reflection of another spiritual malady, another spiritual problem. And that is that we are not praying in private, or we are not praying fervently enough in private, or not praying at all. I dare say that the two are related. If we are very, very fervent, very devout in our private prayer, we will also want to be fervent and devout in public prayer. We will want to come to the church prayer meeting to pray. Now I ask myself, why is my preaching not effective? I'm supposed to be wielding the sword of the Spirit, am I not? Supposed to be wielding the sword of the Spirit, which is sharper than any two-edged sword. But how come when I preach, I don't seem to be effective? Now, is it because I don't prepare hard enough? I say I prepare hard. I put in a lot of thoughts in my message preparation. I dare say that I do a lot of research when I do my message preparation. But yet, my dear friends, I would also admit that I do not prepare hard enough because I don't pray enough. Yes. If my message is to be well prepared, if I want to wield the sword of the Spirit very, very effectively, then I must go on my knees to pray. Dr. Ironside, that great Bible teacher and pastor, as a young preacher, visited the aged preacher Alexander Fraser, this old man Alexander Fraser. And Ironside then was a young man. He listened enthralled as Mr. Fraser expounded one truth after another from God's word, until Ironside could not restrain himself. And he had to ask this question, where did you learn these things from? And you know what Fraser said? Let me read to you. He said, on my knees on the mud floor of Ireland, there with my Bible open before me, I used to kneel for hours and ask the Spirit of God to reveal Christ to my soul and to open the Word to my heart. He taught me more on my knees on that mud floor than I could ever have learned in all the colleges and seminaries in the world. That was what he said, this great preacher, Alexander Fraser. He learned more on his knees than he could have learned in all the seminaries and colleges in the world. The message is clear, my dear friends. I must pray. I must pray more, and so must you. Yes? So that we will be effective in giving out God's word to non-believers. If we don't pray, my dear friends, we will be ineffective in wielding the sword of the Spirit, even though the sword of the Spirit is sharper than any two-edged sword. Now, it is no accident that verse 18 comes after the section on the armor of God. Verse 18 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Yes, that this verse should come after Paul talks about the whole armor of God is no accident. It is to let us know very, very clearly that the armor of God, will not be effectively used except that we go on our knees to pray. Friends, we must change. We must. And operate the way God wants us to operate. We cannot just go on the way we have been going and say, all right, this is the way we do things. We organize things, we do things. But then we forget to pray. No, we must change, my dear friends. We must go on our knees to pray and see if God will not use us more effectively in our service unto Him. The hymn writer says it well in regards to the need of prayer. In hymn 443, in regards to the need for prayer for the armor of God to be more effectively used. I'd like us to look at hymn 443. All right, this hymn that we have sung many times as soldiers of Christ. And I'd like us to look at verse 2, soldiers of Christ, verse 2. Verse 2, I read for you. Stand then in his great might. 443, yes. Stand then in his great might, with all his strength endued, and take to arm you for the fight the panoply of God. In other words, take the panoply of God to arm you for the fight. The panoply of God here refers to the armor of God. To keep your armor bright, attend with constant care, still walking in your captain's side, and watching unto prayer. My dear friends, absolutely necessary that we pray. We not only take hold of the panoply of God, the armor of God, but we must pray. Then the next verse, verse 3. From strength to strength, go on, wrestle, fight, and what? Pray, my dear friends, pray. We need to pray so that the armor of God that we put on may be effectively used. Then for us to be effective in our praying, so that the armor of God on us can be effectively used, we must be praying all prayer. All prayer. Look at verse 18. Praying always with all prayer. We are saying that we need to pray to ensure that the armor of God on us will be effectively used. But what kind of prayers, my dear friends? We must be praying all prayers. All kinds of prayer. Yes? Now, but what kinds of prayer are we talking about? My dear friends, we must be praying private prayer. We must be praying prayers in the home. And we must be praying prayers in the public, such as at our church prayer meeting. Now, of all the prayers, which prayer do you think is most important? I would say it's the private prayer. That is the most important prayer, private prayer. This is the prayer that all other prayers are related to. Now, if we don't pray in private, it is hard. It is hardly possible for us to be wanting to pray in all situations. Then it is hard to imagine that a person who doesn't pray in private would want to come to the church prayer meeting to pray. I don't think he would if he doesn't pray in private. And I don't see how a person would want to lead his family in family prayer if he doesn't pray in private. And I don't see how a person would be grateful enough to give thanks in public for the food that the Lord has provided for him when in private he doesn't give thanks unto the Lord for blessing him. I don't see how he's going to do it. So you see, our private prayer is the most important prayer. All other prayers are related to our private prayer. Praying in private is an absolute must. Yes, and the Lord Jesus Christ has told us that it is an absolute must by his example. When he ministered on this earth, there were many occasions, the word of God records for us, that he went and prayed in private. For example, in Mark 1:35, we read, "And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed." And then in Luke 6:12 we read, "And it came to pass in those days that he went up into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God." He continued all night in prayer to God. Now these are not the only two occasions that are recorded for us that the Lord Jesus Christ prayed in private. There are several other records also in the Gospels, in the Word of God. Now I read this about great men of God, as to why they fought so well with the armor of God on them. All of them, of course, had the armor of God on them. But why did they fight so well? Let me read this for you. The men who have accomplished most for the Lord have been men of prayer. Did you hear that? They have been men of prayer. They accomplished much for the Lord. Take, for example, John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist movement, was warned to spend at least 2 hours each day in prayer. How much time do we spend in prayer? Wesley spent 2 hours every day in prayer. Samuel Rutherford rose up at 3 o'clock early morning, each early morning, to wait upon the Lord. Samuel Rutherford was a 17th century Presbyterian pastor and theologian. And then John Fletcher, who was an 18th century Methodist theologian, he was a contemporary of John Wesley. John Fletcher was said to have stained the walls of his chambers by the breath of his prayers. In other words, he would face the wall and he prayed, and he would stain the walls of his prayer chamber because of his prayers. Yes. And then the greatest missionaries have been uniformly men of prayer. Now think of David Brennan, dying at the age of 29. He was an 18th century missionary, and he did his missions work among the native Indians in America. He died at the age of 29. Henry Martin, an Anglican missionary to the Indians and to the Persians, died at the age of 31. Now, these young missionaries were young, yet their names stand out as among the brightest stars in the missionary firmament. These young men exerted a profound influence not only upon their own generation, but upon all succeeding generations as well. Their influence was not by their actual labors, which were cut short. Remember, they all died very young. Brennan died at 29. Martin died at the age of 31. Yes, their influence, my dear friends, was exerted by what? By their prayer life and their resultant saintly characters. My dear friends, great warriors of the Lord were great warriors of the Lord with the armor of God on them, and the armor of God was made effective by their prayer. Friends, we must pray. If we want to be effective warriors for the Lord, we must pray. Our private prayer, if it is effectual, will lead us to our being effectual in our prayers at home. And that is true. If we are effectual in our private prayer, we will be effectual in our prayers in the home. And we need to be effectual in our prayers in our home. Have we not heard of this saying, the family that prays together stays together? We know this, right? We know this. Now, why are there so many conflicts among the among husband and wife, among parents and children, children and parents, and among siblings, in spite of the fact that all members of the home claim to be believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, all claim to have on them the armor of God? I say the reason is this: they do not pray together. That's the reason. Yes, what a blessed home it is if all the members in the home pray, and all of them pray together, and everyone knows that all the other members of the home are praying for them. Everyone knows that. Mommy and daddy are praying for me, and mommy and daddy know that the children are praying for them. You know, what a wonderful home that home would be. What great support each member of the home will be receiving from other members of the home. Now, do you long to have such a home? You say, yes, I long to have such a home. But friends, you don't have to long for it. You can have it. Yes, stop longing. Start making your home, this kind of home, a reality. Pray in the home, yes, and activate your armor of God. Don't let your armor of God be something that is static and useless. Pray, and then this armor of God that is on you will be activated. Now our prayer, if it is diligent, will lead us to be diligent in prayer. When we interact with people that we come across in our workplace, in our schools, in our university, and in various places, in social gatherings. Yes, our prayer in private, if it's diligent, will cause us to be diligent in prayer. in all these situations when we meet with people. Sure, as we said, we need to put on the whole armor of God to be effective witnesses for the Lord. But we know, my dear friends, that for this armor of God to be effective, we must be praying. Now, if we have been diligent in our private prayers, my dear friends, we will realize that we need to pray in every situation. Yes, we need to pray. So, when we are in a social gathering, if we are tempted, we will be very, very aware, very, very conscious that we need to pray to cause our shield of faith to be raised up so that we will be able to defend ourselves effectively. And then when we have the opportunity to give the gospel out, if we have been diligent in our private prayer, my dear friends, when the occasion calls for us to give out the gospel, we will straight away be praying, straight away be wielding the sword of the Spirit so that we will be able to effectively give out the gospel. Then when we realize that we need to stand up for righteousness in the presence of a social company, when we are very diligent in praying in private, my dear friends, we will be very, very conscious of the need to pray when we need to stand up for the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, if we are diligent in prayer in private, we will be very, very diligent in prayer in every situation that we are in. Next, our being diligent in private prayer will also give us the desire to want to pray in public, such as coming to the church prayer meeting to pray. I dare say that if we are diligent in our private prayer, our prayer meetings will be very, very well attended. I don't have to stand here to plead with you, to coax with you, to plead with you to come to the church prayer meeting. You will understand that there is a great need for you to come to the church prayer meeting. You will understand that all the members of the church need to be mobilized for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the cause of the gospel. You will understand that everyone in the church must put on the whole armor of God and to have the armor of God on them to be very, very useful. So you will realize that there is a need to come together to pray. Yes, you will surely want to engage yourselves in our church prayer meeting if you have been praying diligently in private. Are you praying in private diligently? My dear friends, if you are praying very, very diligently in private, I'm very, very sure that you will have this holy desire to want to come to the church prayer meeting to pray. Then we must pray with supplication, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Now, what does that mean, to pray with supplication? Now, I look at the commentaries, and one commentator, I particularly like one commentator who says that to supplicate means to pray very, very specifically. Yes, we must pray specifically. Now, there is a place for a general prayer, of course. You know, for example, at the worship service, when we pray and we give thanks unto the Lord, when we praise the Lord, we give thanks unto the Lord, our prayers are inclined to be quite general. But there is a place for specific prayers. Yes, and we need to pray specific prayers. Because how do we know that the Lord has answered our prayers when He's answered our prayers if we didn't pray specific prayers? We wouldn't know. So we need to be specific in our prayers. So let us be bold and let us have the faith to pray specifically. Now in the Word of God, we have one case of a prayer that was really very, very specific. It was a prayer uttered by Abraham. Remember that? Abraham prayed for the deliverance of the city of Sodom. He was actually thinking of the safety of his nephew and his nephew's family. And Abraham was specific to the extent of stating the number of righteous people living in the city of Sodom for God to, as a condition for God to spare the city of Sodom. And so he said, Lord, would you destroy the righteous with the wicked in the city of Sodom? Let's say, Lord, if there are 50 righteous persons, would you spare the city of Sodom? God said, yes. Then he went down to 45, and then he went down to 30, and then 20 and 10. My point is, he was very specific. Now, Did God answer his prayers? Yes. The Lord did not spare the city of Sodom, but the Lord spared Lot, his wife, and his two children. The Lord answered his prayer. Now, particularly in wielding the sword of the Spirit, in giving out the gospel, my dear friends, let us be specific in praying for the salvation of souls. A prayer like, Lord, please save my colleagues. Please save my classmates. Please save my schoolmates. My dear friends, that kind of prayer is not specific enough. Let us name the persons and let us pray for opportunities for us to share the gospel with them. And when the opportunity arises, my dear friends, let's very, very quickly pray that we will take advantage of that situation and wield the sword of the Spirit, put on gospel shoes, and give the gospel out. My dear friends, that is what we must be doing. Now, if we want the armor of God on us to be effective, let us pray specific prayers. Now, relating to praying with supplication, we must be watchful for the answers to our prayer. Verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all sins. Now, I don't believe that we are sincere and earnest, yes, when we pray, and then we are not watching for the answers to our prayer. But maybe we are sincere, all right? Let's say we are sincere and earnest when we pray, and then, but we are not watching for the answers to our prayer. Now, what does that mean? We are sincere, we pray, and then, but we are not watching for the answers. It could mean one thing. Another thing, my dear friends, and that is that we lack faith in the one true living God. That is why we are not watching for the answers. My dear friends, to use the armor of God effectively, we must hold up the shield of faith. True, must hold up the shield of faith. And that means that, my dear friends, when we pray, let's apply faith. When we pray, let us watch out for answers to our prayer. Yes? If we want to use the armor of God effectively, that's what we must be doing. Hold up the shield of faith. Pray, and then watch for answers. Now, should we watch for the Lord to answer our prayers when we pray for ourselves? Yes, we should. When we pray for ourselves, let's watch for answers. So we come before the Lord, before his throne of grace, and we pray this for ourselves. Good prayers, I must say. Lord, please change me. Please cause me to be more humble, and please cause me to be more loving. Now, these are good prayers, but are we watchful for the answers unto the Lord for the prayers that we uttered before him? I dare say that often than not, we don't. Because no sooner have we rise up from our knees than we have forgotten what we have prayed. Isn't it true? We pray, but we forgot what we prayed, or we didn't care to remember what we prayed. My dear friends, if we are not watchful, as I said earlier on, we are not being sincere, we are not being earnest, and we are not being truthful in our prayers. We pray to the Lord, Lord, change me. But we don't care to watch for the answers, which means we might not be truthful in our prayers. Which means, my dear friends, that we might really not have the girdle of truth firmly around us. Not truthful. Now I refer you to how the great King David prayed. Psalm 5:3. If you turn with me to Psalm 5 and look at verse 3. Psalm 5 and look at verse 3. See how he prayed. Five, three. David prayed. He said, my voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and will look up. You see, when David prayed unto the Lord, it was as if he was shooting a prayer arrow. It was as if he was doing that. And after the arrow had left its bow, what did David do? Did David turn his eyes away from the arrow? No, he did not. He continued to steadfastly look at the arrow to see whether the arrow had hit his mark. So he said, in the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and will look up, you see. So he looked to see whether the arrow had hit his mark. Yes, he watched to see if his prayer had indeed reach God's wonderful throne of grace. And that is how we should be praying, my dear friends. When we pray, let us watch for the answers to our prayers. When we are watchful and for the answers to our prayer, it shows that we have faith in the one true living God. It shows that we are indeed holding up the shield of faith. And if we are watchful for the answers to our prayers, it also means that we are being truthful. Yes, we want the Lord to answer our prayers. That's why we keep on watching to see if the Lord would answer our prayers, which means, of course, that we have the girdle of truth firmly around us. Now, for our prayers to be effectual, to enable us to use the armor of God effectively, we must also pray in the Spirit. Look at verse 18. Pray in the Spirit. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Our prayer must be in the Spirit. I dare say that very often our prayers are not in the Spirit, as I said earlier on, very often very mechanical. They might not be vain repetitions, but certainly those prayers are not spiritual prayers. Now, I'm not talking about prayers that must be framed in perfect grammar, framed with in perfect grammar and perfect English. Yes, I'm not saying that our prayers, the prayers that we utter should be so eloquent, very, very eloquent in the ears of men. But friends, our prayers could be very, very eloquent in the ears of men, but they might not move the heart of the one true living God, because they are not prayers from the heart. Yes, they don't move the one true living God. Now, if our prayers, my dear friends, are fractured, not really eloquent, but dear friends, if they are prayers from the heart, they are going to move the heart of the one true living God. Now, let us remember who our intercessor is in regards to our prayer. I'd like us to turn to Romans 8:26 very, very quickly. Then you'll see who the intercessor is for when we pray. Romans 8:26. Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So the Holy Spirit is our intercessor. He makes intercession for us. He prays on our behalf. Now, if our prayers are in accordance to God's will, and if they are prayers from the heart, my dear friends, the Holy Spirit, who is our intercessor, will take our prayers and convert them, change into prayers that are most intelligible and most eloquent in the ears of the one true living God. God will surely hear such prayers. I remember years ago attending the prayer meeting in Calvary Pandan. My wife and I would attend the church prayer meeting Tuesday after Tuesday. The prayers were always very, very mechanical sounding, very, very routine, just like the kind of prayer we pray here at the church prayer meeting. Mechanical, very routine. But one evening, there was one prayer that I could never forget. It was a very, very unusual prayer. Someone, a regular prayer, he was one who was attending the prayer meeting regularly. He prayed really from the heart. Yes, you could hear that the prayer was from a heart that was weeping. You see, what happened was this brother had a son who got into very serious trouble. And he had disappeared. And his parents were very, very concerned about his whereabouts. They didn't know where he was. And they, of course, made reports to the police and so forth. But that evening, that brother came and presented the matter before the Lord. And he prayed earnestly from the heart. I dare say that evening, God's mighty Holy Spirit must have taken that prayer, fractured as it might have been, but it was a prayer from the heart. And the Holy Spirit surely must have caused that prayer to be changed into one that was most intelligible and most eloquent to the ears of the one true living God. Did God hear the prayer of that brother? Of course, God heard his prayer. God very, very graciously, kindly, wonderfully spared that young man and delivered him from trouble. Now, let's see how such a prayer was related to the armor of God. I'm talking about this prayer that is uttered from the heart. Let us see how that prayer of that brother was related to the armor of God that this brother had on him. Sure, he had put on the whole armor of God. And if he had put on the whole armor of God, then he would have the girdle of truth on him. Now, if he had the girdle of truth on him, then this brother would have known who God was or who God is. He would have known that God is all-powerful, all-knowing, that God is very, very faithful, God is very gracious, and God is very merciful. He would have known that. But that, friends, that knowledge could just be just head knowledge. Knowledge stored in the head, that's all. Right? But that evening when he prayed that prayer, the prayer from the heart, it was different. Yes, that knowledge was no longer head knowledge. It was head knowledge transferred to heart knowledge. He came before the Lord and he cried out unto the Lord. What he was essentially saying to the Lord was this: Lord, I truly, truly believe, Lord, that you are all-powerful. I believe that you are all-knowing. I believe that you are very kind, very gracious. I know that you are very merciful. And I know, O Lord God, that you are very faithful. You will surely answer my prayers. Lord, be merciful to me, my wife. Be merciful to my family. Be merciful to my son. And God heard that prayer, my dear friends, because it was a prayer from the heart. Yes, so the girdle of truth that he had on him really was very, very firmly girded around him. Then finally, for our prayers to be effectual, for the use of the armor of God, our prayers must be persevering prayers. Persevering prayers express our faith in the one true living God. They show that we trust in the one true living God and that we do not give up. Yes, we trust. And because we trust, we do not give up. The Lord Jesus said this: men ought always to pray and not to faint. When we pray in that manner, my dear friends, persevering prayer, we are actually expressing faith in the one true living God. Which means, my dear friends, of course we are holding up the shield of faith. So friends, putting on the whole armor of God is not enough for us to do our spiritual warfare against the evil one. We must pray. And if we don't pray, we may gird ourselves with the girdle of truth. We may, but my dear friends, the girdle of truth may be very, very loose around us. If we don't pray, we'll not be as swift-footed as we should be for giving up the gospel. And my dear friends, if we do not pray, we will not have the faith to hold up the shield of faith. If we do not pray, we will not have the skills and the ability to wield the sword of the Spirit effectively. If we do not pray, my dear friends, the breastplate of righteousness will not be firmly placed on us. Now, if we want to be effective in the use of the armor of God, as I said it over and over again, we must pray, and we must pray all prayers. Private prayers, prayers in the home, public prayers. And then we must pray with supplication. In other words, our prayers must be specific, and we must be watchful for the answers to our prayers. Because being watchful for the answers to our prayers shows that we have faith in the one true living God, and it shows that we are also earnest and true when we utter our prayers, because we want desires, the very, very desires that the Lord should answer our prayers. Then our prayers must be in accordance to God's will, and our prayers must be from the heart. Then and only then our prayers may be spiritual. And if our prayers are indeed spiritual, God's mighty Holy Spirit will take our prayers, translate into prayers that are most eloquent, most effectual in the ears of the one true living God. Now, if our putting on the armor of God, my dear friends, is attended by prayers that we have been talking about, then we will be in the spiritual condition which the great Apostle Paul talks about in verse 10. All right, look at chapter 6, verse 10. Let's read the verse together as we close. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of the might. That will be what will happen to us. We have the armor of God on us. And the, having the armor of God is also accompanied by prayer. My dear friends, if we are in that state, we will be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for your truth. O Lord, we thank you for the instruction given by your word. We thank you for the whole armor of God that has been given to us. And we realize, O Lord, that the armor of God will not be effective except we go on our knees to pray. And help us, O Lord, to pray all prayers, private prayers, prayers in the home, and public prayers. We know that the armor of God, the putting on the armor of God, must be attended by prayers so that we will be the effective witnesses that you want us to be. So that, Lord, we will be strong in you, and so that we will be able to put up a powerful defense against the wiles of the evil one. Lord, enable us to do what you want us to do, and that is to be the witnesses that you want us to be. In Jesus' blessed name we pray. Amen.